Good day, friends. We take the privilege of coming to you again into your home, your car, wherever you are. It is our great desire that men and women everywhere know the Savior and then are built up, edified in Him. We're studying the Gospel through John, and we're in chapter 10, commonly known as the Shepherd chapter. He's the great shepherd of His people. And we've been dealing with the fact that our Lord was the true shepherd in the first six verses. And we were dealing in our last lesson also with Christ as the good shepherd from verses 7 to 11. And we find what God is doing today. And I'd like to read again those verses, first of all. The seventh verse of chapter 10 of John, where Jesus said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, we were dealing in our last lesson, closing our last lesson, with verse 9. Now, we're dealing here with Christ as the good shepherd. We find what God is doing now. His purpose is to gather out a people to His name, called the church. And His program is revealed to us here in the fact that the Lord is going to suffer and die and be raised again so that those who are dead in trespasses and sins might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, we were discussing the fact that our Lord is the only door into the sheepfold. There is no other name. There is no other way. There's no other door. What a claim for Christ to make. And everybody else who is contrary to this are thieves and robbers. That's why today we have false Christs, false prophets, false teachers. But you can't fool the sheep. God's people are going to come. Do you remember in chapter 6 when Jesus said, "Except you're part and parcel of me, unless you're joined to me, you have no life in you." And the Jews of that day said, "This is a hard saying. Who can receive it?" And the Lord turned to the 12 and said, "Will you also go away?" And that memorable answer of Peter when he said, "Thou art the Christ." "Where, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou alone hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God." So we have this before us. And then in verse 9, that amazing statement, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture." He's the only shepherd. He's the good shepherd. He's the true shepherd. And there's none in his class, by the way. He's the shepherd, the good one. And as I said in our last lesson, if we accept the fact of His invitation, when He said, "I am the door, by me if any man enter in," whatever your condition may be, that doesn't even enter into it. If you enter in through Jesus Christ as the way to God, you'll have life and you'll have it abundantly. You'll go in and out and find pasture. That's why I said He not only saves us, but He liberates us and He sustains us. Now in verse 10 to 11, you have God's method of how He's going to bring us into the flock. He said, "I am the shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." In verse 10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and they might have it abundantly." I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Will you please notice, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Notice the contrast. "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." But how can they have life when they're dead in trespasses and sins? So he answers it in the next verse. "I am the shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now, you remember in the Old Testament, the sheep gave their life for the shepherd. But here we have our Lord giving His life for us. He's the shepherd, the good one. Do you remember one day a rich young ruler came to Jesus and said, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Now the word for good there is agathos, intrinsically good. And Jesus said to this rich young ruler, only one can qualify for that word, and that is God. "Why do you call me good? There's none good. None can qualify for that word but one, and that's God." He uses the same word here. "I am the shepherd, the good one. There's no other one like me, no other one in his class. And he's so good that he gave his life for the sheep." My, how he must love the sheep. My, how he must love men and women. He laid down his life. As 1 Peter 3:18 says, "He the just, the righteous one, died for the unrighteous." 2 Corinthians 5:21, "He hath made him," Jesus, "the righteous one, to be made sin for us, he who knew no sin." Or as I love to quote that verse, "He who knew no sin was made sin for me who knew no righteousness, that I who knew no righteousness might be made the righteousness of God in him." Or as the Apostle Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, "I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ liveth in me." He loved me, and he gave himself for me. Oh, listen, friend. Shall we not respond to such love? There's no love like this. "I am come that they might have life and have it abundantly." Why? "Because I am the shepherd, the good one, and I gave my life for the sheep. I love them so much, every individual one of them. I died for each one individually because I love them. And I want them to have life, eternal life, satisfying life, resurrection life, abundant life." You know, it's an amazing thing. Today, everybody wants life. We run hither and yon, all of us trying to get life. Just like Jesus said to the woman of the well, "If you drink of this water, you'll thirst again." And here we have it again. People are running everywhere, hither and yon, trying to get life, trying to get life, trying to get life. "Oh, if I only had more money, I'd have more life." No, you wouldn't. "If I only had a place of power, I'd have more life." No, you wouldn't. You'd still be miserable. "Well, if I could have all the joys of the flesh, you'd still be miserable." My friend, listen. God made you for himself. Sin ruined the picture. Sin drove you away from God, and the wages of sin is death. How in the world are you going to be liberated? How are you going to be set free? That's why I say, Jesus said, "I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." I want you to have life, abundant life. But how can you get abundant life? "Because I am the shepherd, the good one, and I gave my life for you, that you might not die." "I am the shepherd, the good one, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Again I say, my, how he must love us. I come right back to it again. How he must love you, how he must love me. The sinless, holy, righteous Son of God left the eternal glory just because he loved you and he loved me. Can't we respond to that love? Can't we find in Jesus Christ all that we need? He says, I didn't say it, he said it, "I am come that you might have life." Who? The sheep. The one who come in by the door. The one who accept him as their Savior, as their shepherd, as the one who died for you. Don't you hear those words of the 22nd Psalm? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Or the 69th Psalm, "I looked for a night of pity and I found none." That night they all forsook him and fled. He was made an accursed thing, was scourged until his flesh was in ribbons. Then they crucified him, made him an accursed thing. Why? Just because he loved you and he loved me. And the guarantee, and again I come to it, the guarantee that this is real, he raised Jesus Christ from the dead and exalted him to his own right hand to be a prince and a savior. I am the shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Now, he's not only the true shepherd and the good shepherd, but we come to it again. He's the only shepherd, verses 12 to 16. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he's a hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. Other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. They shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold. There shall be one shepherd. You see, friend, he's the only shepherd. He is the only shepherd. But there are oppositions. There are enemies of the flock of God. Here are hirelings, and they're not the shepherd. And they don't own the sheep. They don't love the sheep. And the wolf comes and scatters the sheep. And the false shepherd runs away. He flees because he's a hireling and he doesn't love the sheep. But me, I am the good shepherd, said Jesus. And I know my sheep. And I'm known of mine. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And the other sheep I have, now he's talking about Gentiles, I'm going to bring them into the same fold, Jews and Gentiles, and make one flock. One flock. You see, your false teachers, your false prophets, do not love people. They lead them astray. And believe me, my friend, I have seen the enmity and the hatred and the bitterness of false teachers toward God's people. They have no love for the sheep. They've got no concern for the sheep. You take in these past passages, you take chapter 5 and chapter 9, just for an illustration. Take the man who was 38 years infirmed. These false teachers in our Lord's day, these religious leaders, would rather have had that man still 38 years infirm, die in his disease, than be healed on the Sabbath day. They would rather this poor woman in chapter 8, they would rather have her stoned to death than to have the gracious words of our Savior, go and sin no more. They'd rather have the blind man of chapter 9 still in his blindness than to have his eyes opened by the Savior. And I'll tell you, my friend, there are people today and there are religious leaders today who would rather see you die in your sin than belong to the Savior. They'd rather see you give your life over to the devil than to give your life over to the Savior. You mean religious leaders? Yes, I'm talking about religious leaders. I'm talking about different kinds of teachers and leaders and false prophets. They have no love for the people of God. They seek to kill and to destroy and to scatter. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd and I prove my goodness. I reveal to you that I'm a good shepherd because I lay down my life for the sheep, whether Jews or Gentiles. I'm going to have one flock made up of Jews and Gentiles. And by the way, if you want to follow that through, I'd suggest you read the book of Ephesians, the first three chapters. He's the only shepherd. He's not only the true shepherd and the good shepherd, but he's the only shepherd. And his flock is an international shepherd, international flock, made up of Jews and Gentiles. One flock, one shepherd. Remember, there's only one real shepherd who loves the sheep individually. And that's the good shepherd, Jesus, who laid down his life for the sheep. He manifested his life, and he manifested his love by laying down his life for his people. Oh, what a shepherd he is. One more thing today. He's not only the only shepherd, but is the obedient shepherd. Verses 17 to 18. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Will you please notice? He's the obedient shepherd, even unto death. What a terrific statement Jesus makes. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Again, I come back to the fact that our Savior was completely, absolutely submissive to his Father's will, even to death. And this is why my Father loves me, because I'm obedient even unto death. Do you remember Philippians chapter 2? He took his place in the human family. What for? He was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Take Romans 3:25. God set him forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. He was set forth to be a sacrifice. Isaiah 53. Do you remember? Isaiah 53. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. And so on. Read that whole chapter. The whole chapter. He took upon you and me our sins. He bare our sins in his own body on the tree. One could multiply the passages of Scripture concerning this. Our Savior is the obedient shepherd. But mark it. He was not only a willing sacrifice, but mark his statement, no man taketh my life from me. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. Please notice, his death was not only natural because of sin. His death was supernatural. No man taketh my life from me. He was a willing sacrifice. Of his own volition, he laid down his life. And yet it was in perfect accord with his Father's will. This is a stupendous statement of Christ. Now you and I know that the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. Jesus was a sinless one in chapter 8, 46. Which one of you convinceth me of sin? And if the wages of sin is death, and the soul that sinneth it shall die, why did Jesus Christ die when he had no sin? You can't separate sin and death. And when Jesus, in perfect obedience to his Father, took your sin and my sin, he laid down his life. It was not the spear that killed the Savior. You remember in John chapter 19, he said, I thirst that the Scripture might be fulfilled. Then he cried with a loud voice, it is finished. And he bowed his head and yielded up the Spirit. You can't do that. You can blow your brains out, but you can't lay down your life. I can't. You can't. Somebody else can kill you. You can kill yourself, but you can't lay it down. You can't yield up the Spirit to God. You can't say, my work is finished, and then yield up your Spirit. No, my friend. Jesus said, no man taketh my life from me. I have power, authority, to lay it down. And I do so in perfect submission to the will of my Father. I say, his death was natural in that he bore your sin and my sin. But his death was supernatural in that no man took his life from him. Do you remember how amazed, how astonished the Romans were when they came to Jesus Christ and found he was already dead? They broke the bones of the thieves to be sure they would die quick, because they were not dead. They came to Jesus, they didn't break his bones. In fact, the prophet said they would not break his bones. They took a
spear and pierced his side. He's already dead. He laid down his life for you and me, as dear Paul could say in Galatians 2:20, who loved me and gave himself for me. He the just died for the unjust. For what reason? He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, quickened by the Spirit. Friend, I plead with you today, put your trust in the Savior. Why don't you put your trust in Jesus Christ? He's the shepherd, the good one, and he loved you enough to die for you. Don't you think he's worth trusting? Don't you think he's worth having? He gave himself for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh and quickened by the Spirit. And the very resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead is God's wonderful personal proof to you that he loves you and that he's perfectly satisfied with the work of Jesus Christ for you. He's a real, real Savior. Oh, friend, why don't you put your trust in Jesus Christ? Again, I say, verse 9, Jesus is saying to you, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, shall go in and out, find pasture. I am the shepherd, the good one. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And herein does my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life for the sheep. And in perfect submission to the will of his Father, he died for you and he died for me. Don't you think he's worth trusting? Why don't you trust him? To as many as received him, to them he gives the right to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name.